The Sunday Sit Down on Algoa FM.
Hayley Steinfeld and Anderson Park. Anderson Park is also half of Silk Sonic, along with, what's his name again? Help me.
Bruno Mars.
There we go. Thank you. They said he was useless. The song is called Coast, a newish addition to the Algoa FM playlist, getting us to just after 12:30. The other voice is that of Cornelius Poissat. That is your real name, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, and you're the only one that says it.
What, correctly?
Correctly.
Yeah. Oh, that's a bit weird. It's Franche, isn't it?
It's Franche, yeah.
Okay.
Poissat.
Is it technically Poisson? It would be. The T's aren't pronounced.
I've been told that by my father, and my father's Afrikaans, so I wouldn't know. But yeah.
Also wouldn't contradict an Afrikaans dad much.
Exactly.
Historically.
Yeah, a police officer.
Ooh, wow, okay, no. So I thought for a little bit of fun for the last Sunday sit down, we would talk to you because you are mostly behind the scenes, but responsible for an eye-watering amount of output. And I'm not doing that to flatter. I mean, I see. And you and I have this neat trade-off on the second floor.
We do, yes.
Where we both make one another's lives easier. But I have a great deal of respect. I really, really do. But to start at the beginning, where are you from?
Listen, I am on it, and I think before we start, I just want, maybe I must check with you. Are you sure this is how you want to go out? I have some Easy's number. We could make it a little bit more exciting. No, but
let's not add that curveball.
No, it's great to be here. Thanks, y'all. Where did it start? I was born and raised for the first few years of my life in East London.
Okay.
Yeah, I moved here. My mother was a nurse. My father was a policeman, as I've said. So I come from, a government employee household.
So same, because my mom was also a retired nursing sister and my dad was in government admin.
And I'd like to think that that's where the work ethic came from.
well, we saw hardworking people, but being slightly lazy ourselves, we figured out the quickest, easiest way to do most things that we need to do.
We did, yes.
Work smart, not hard.
That, 100%. So we ended up moving to then Port Elizabeth and the rest is history. I don't remember much of my schooling career. It was
not something that interested you particularly.
No, it's funny like that, because it is a bit of a blur. And I said to Lee the other day, we were talking about it. I said there's a big chunk of my schooling history that I don't really remember, and that might just be how quickly things have moved on from there to college, to all the things that I've been involved with, to the live scene, and now back into radio. So my history for me starts when I left school, in 2000.
So, shut up. So towards the end of school, well, even before that, people are asking you the question, and you're asking yourself the question, what's next?
Mm.
In other words, I have interests, I have shown some kind of skill or something in a field or two,
yes.
But how did you decide?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, when I left school, it was what we'd like to call the technological boom.
True.
So everyone was doing something with regards to IT. IT was the thing. Go and study IT. So I said, all right, that's fine. I'll do what everyone else is doing. Did a year of IT. But in school, the one thing I do remember about school is I dropped economics and accountancy. Purely for the numbers.
Okay.
I'm not a numbers guy. I'm a facts and data guy, but not a numbers guy. Get to college and it's two of the main subjects. So
you're playing the catch up game, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I ended up leaving college because I got an offer to be part of a recording studio, which was my passion at the time, because when I was at school, I was a musician. I was playing. I was touring on
what
some
instrument?
Sessions. At that time, drums.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember Billy Paulson?
Yes.
Billy Paulson's still around. Mortisol de Sonvia Skane. Yeah. The man, his son, Wilton. I learned my drumming from Wilton, and Billy gave me an opportunity to play in his band. So I was doing, as a youngster, I was playing at like Car Con Car in these places. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's entirely possible. I saw you without knowing who you were.
100%.
In short.
100%. Okay. Yeah, I did do a few little stints. But you know what? I was a musician, but I was never a really, really good musician, because the more my career flourished in the recording industry, I would work with session musos who are actually
really,
musicians.
Really, really good.
Yes. So you'd see them play and you'd be like, you know what? Maybe your skills lie elsewhere. And I got into production because I got the opportunity to take over a recording studio that Andrew Grief was involved in.
Right.
At that point in time, which was a very successful recording studio called Creative Music. And I was doing a lot of hip-hop artists, a lot of gospel stuff. Like when I say a lot of gospel, I'm talking Vuyo Mokoena, Sizwe Zarko, Christadelphians, across the board, a lot of gospel music. But it started tapering off, and I had to find another way to sort of make more money. So I went into the live industry. And that's a whole other story as well, because
it really is because
Billy gave me my first break. The first concert I did was a Johnny Clegg concert. Yeah.
To throw you in the deep end, why don't you?
To throw me in the deep end, but it sucked me in and I never looked back. I was in the live events for about 15, 16 years.
It's crazy, crazy, crazy hard work with insanely demanding hours. Why? Just why?
Good question. There is something satisfying about seeing the end product, to be able to, if you're a creative and you're stuck in a cubicle in an 8 to 5,
it goes slowly mad.
Yes. Yeah. It's soul destroying. So for me, at that point in time, it fulfilled me. Yes, it was long hours, and it was all fun and games until the family came along. I've got a beautiful family now, but it became harder because I started missing out a lot of my son's upbringing. You know, you'd go away for 2 weeks to Africa, come back, and the child's lost a tooth and, yeah, you know, grown another one.
I believe, though, that you probably would have needed to get a permission slip from Caden to come here today, because now that he's 13, he knows everything and he's ready to run the world.
Yes. Oh, sure. No, listen, out of everything I've done wrong in my life, that little bundle of hormones is, yeah, is one good thing. Yeah, turned 13 on Friday. And he knows everything about everything, but I love him to bits, and obviously my wife Lindsay, teacher at St. Mark's, yeah, has done a fantastic job in my absence during the events industry. Yeah.
Okay. Just very quickly, it happens, mm-hmm, that there must have been many, many shows, hopefully, because you're good at what you do, where you were like, yes, this is working. This is, yes, magnificent. Yes. Is there one that stands out as a, wow, that was amazing. That went well. Everything was just like, as it should be.
There's so many. For me, it's when an artist looks at you and appreciates what you're doing as an audio engineer, whether you're on monitors or whether you're on front of house.
Okay.
Because you've been there for 2 weeks beforehand, you've been setting up, you haven't gone to the hotel to shower. They rock up there fresh. But at any time when the sound is good, when the mix is good and it's working and the artist appreciates what you're doing, that makes it all worthwhile. Standout
being
shows.
Being paid in dollars also helps.
Yeah. They pay you in dollars in Africa, yeah. Standout shows. I was part of a very, very fantastic Michael W. Smith tour, which was great from a setup and a sound point of view. Most of the Wildsphere shows, yeah, in the Eastern Cape have been fantastic. The Ebubeleni Festival is massive, and so many fantastic artists. And the sound is great, you know.
Well, it turns out somebody selected one for you. Jacques Arendt's former colleague has just messaged to say Cornelius mixed Kurt Darren in 2008. And until today, Kurt still says Cornelius is the best.
Let me tell you something about Jacques Arendt. Jacques is a legend. And yeah, I will be forever grateful to Jacques. Jacques and myself go way back. And when I say way back, it's probably a good 20 odd years. Jacques actually helped me get this position where I am now.
Oh.
At Algoa.
Oh.
Yes.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Okay. So we were obviously in contact because Jacques was involved with a lot of festivals, and we would talk to each other and message each other. And I was sort of at the end of my tether when it comes to events. I needed to to find something else. But at the same time, I was producing music, which you guys were playing.
Stupid idiot.
Thank you.
What were we thinking?
And I appreciate that. So what happened was Jacques had contacted me and said, listen, there's a position that's available. It's a breakfast producer position. I had been in radio, so I had the radio experience. He said, why don't you just give it a bash? And my meeting with Alfie was as simple as, you know, a question like, what is your experience with production? And I said, hey, you guys are actually playing one of my tracks that I recorded with a fantastic vocalist named Danny Roberts.
Yes.
Who said I must mention her name. And that was it. That was the end. And I've never looked back. It's been fantastic. It's been a fantastic 6 years.
It is. I was trying to put a date on it, yeah. Mm. So, yes, not little known fact, because LHP, Loophole Project, spelled quite weirdly, is your producer-musician name. Okay.
Yes.
So that's when you collaborate with an artist.
And that's because I can't sing.
But auto-tune.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, no. If I could sing, it would be a different story, but... It's easier for me to find really good vocalists and write the music for them.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That is, I believe that I'm more of a songwriter than a musician. I can play a few instruments. There's a lot that I would like to play better, but that's just how it is. But from a production point of view, from a music production point of view, I feel that that's where my skills lie. Best, and that has obviously translated to being a breakfast producer, which is less musical production, yeah. But it's more sort of fact
people
and data
management.
Production and people management, yeah.
Which we'll get to in a second.
Yeah, so that's been my
okay.
journey up to now.
So, of course, we spoke about a couple of highlights. Is there one gig that stands out as the please just kill me right now?
Sure, I do have one. I do have one, yeah. It's not the whole gig. It's one specific group, and I'm not going to name them, but it was just, nothing worked.
Torturous.
Yeah, it was torturous. And at that point in time, you know, when you don't get on with the artist, there's nothing you can do because I don't have a mic and the artist has the mic. So the artist, you know,
and can use that to their advantage and your disadvantage.
Yeah,
got it.
I do have those. You know, there's been a few times I've even done sound for Jonas Gwanga, who had a thing, and it wasn't anything against the audio engineers. It was just a thing that he'd do halfway. He'd want to take a break, and he'd say, no, we need to stop the show. We've got to fix something with the sound, and then the show would break, and everyone would. Be like, what's
happened?
Wrong?
Yeah.
What's wrong? What do we need to change? But it wasn't that. It was his way of taking a break, which, you know, that's one of those things.
I know another Afrikaans artist who runs backstage to fast track about 20 cigarettes under a similar banner.
Yes.
Right. So we were talking about 6 years with the breakfast show.
Yes.
And it's been since the end of 2019 that it's been Wayne Lee and Charlie T.
That's correct, yeah.
Right. Who's a better drummer, you or Charlie?
Oh, no. No, it's not even,
it's not even
a competition.
Close.
No. Charlie.
Bless.
I love Charlie to bits. No, he can play drums. Unfortunately, drums is one of those things that I started out in. So
yeah.
I've got a few more years on Charlie.
Right.
We did have a drum off.
Mm.
It is on the internet somewhere. And then, I mean, you could decide for yourself. You could have a listen and decide for yourself. Yeah.
I know that it's probably not as close as many might like to think. Biggest diva of the three?
Yo, you're going to get me into trouble here. Biggest diva?
I suppose.
Probably Wayne Hart. Yeah.
Everyone was going to go, it's Lee, isn't it? But it's not.
No, you know what? This Wayne, Lee, and Jolly T are... my tribe. They really are. I love those guys to bits.
Though we often want to smother Charlie with a pillow for those horrible puns.
Yeah, but they've all got, you know, let me add myself into this. We've all got our own issues.
Right.
All right.
So it's like group therapy for three
group
hours
therapy.
On radio.
But I would say it like this. We fit in like a puzzle. you know, the four of us, in that there's things that Lee is really, really good at that I'm terrible at, like admitting that I'm wrong. And there's things that Charlie is good at that Wayne's maybe not good at. So we feed off each other. And between Charlie, with all his years of radio history background, he's the level-headed one, you know, who's always saying, yeah. Oh, this is news.
Would not have called that.
No. Charlie's always playing a devil's advocate when it comes to any sort of decision, which is a good thing, and it's what we need, you know. All right, we want to talk about a piece of content, but guys, do we really want to, you know, tackle that? And then you've got Lee, who, from Lee, I've learned to. I mean, she's probably taught me how to admit that I'm wrong. It's always been something I've struggled with.
Right.
Yeah. It's super stubborn. And Lee's taught me that. And she would say that she's my BFF. She probably is my BFF. I know there's a lot of other people out there saying, no, you're not her BFF. Lee's my BFF.
But Lee strikes me, and please correct me if I'm wrong, as the person from whom you are going to get an unfiltered, completely honest answer, even if you didn't like what was being said.
Which is what I needed and I need.
Okay.
You know, and I think everyone needs that. In 2022, when we're being censored the way we've been censored, and when you have to watch what you say.
Yeah. Cause woke.
Yeah, there we go. Honesty is refreshing. It is refreshing because I'd rather have someone who's real around me telling me where my failures are and my faults and giving me props for if something's gone right. And then I know it's from a place of honesty, you know. And then you've got Wayne, who's also so passionate about radio. Wayne knows this business.
And the two of you have the production thing in common.
Yes.
So when it comes to rolling out the show, I imagine you and he are talking the same language and dovetailing everything so that it rolls out as smoothly as possible.
100%.
Whilst still being group therapy and quite human.
That's it. And it's tough. It's tough. I mean, you would know in radio, you're always got to be on your game.
You always have to be on time.
Always have to be on time. And that is a problem in the morning as well. I still haven't learned how to get up on time, but this is, it is part of the game. And I believe we're at the strongest we've ever been as a team.
Mm.
Definitely.
Hmm. And, with time running out really quickly, I want to say thanks for popping in, for giving us a little insight. I was really hoping for a little more dirt, but I understand you still have to work with them tomorrow on something quite specific.
Yes, I've been super diplomatic because I do have to work with them tomorrow.
Wait for the book.
Wait for the book, yeah.
Where the names will not be changed to protect the not so innocent.
Exactly.
And something that we didn't really get to at all, Jacques has messaged again to say, and he's a mean cage fighter. We've also seen proof of that along the way, which is a nice threat to be able to level against your colleagues. Because I mean, like, mess with me and I'll pin you up against the wall.
Yes, but you know what? That was one of those bucket lists. There's the HR thing. That was very much just it was something I needed to tick off my bucket list. And I'm by no means any good. It was just something I wanted to do and I was passionate about it. And I love the sport.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again for popping in. We will catch you on the morning show or the breakfast show tomorrow.
Awesome.
When it'll be time for Feel Good Summer.
That's it. See you then.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.